This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Good afternoon. Now, according to Dr. Joel Carboni, president and founder of Green Project Management, Malaysia's diverse communities provide great potential for green projects. What are the connections and possibilities? How will we meet the goals set out in the Malaysian Green Master Plan? I have Dr. Joel on the phone right now. Welcome.
Thank you, Maya.
So, to start off with, Joel, are green projects new in Malaysia?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on again. To answer your question, are they new in Malaysia? Actually, no. Green projects are not new to Malaysia. I believe it was Ken Yang, an architect, has been developing green buildings since the 90s. Mm. And green project management, however, is new to Malaysia. They've only had partners teaching there for under 2 years.
Right. Why focus on green potential, though, in project management?
Well, the purpose of a project, whether it is related to construction or to change a business, is to maximize benefits. And for a long time, only monetary gains have been used to determine success. With the One Malaysia initiative and the desire to move up the value chain, focusing on green project management, which lends to economic growth, increased productivity, as well as risk mitigation, is a natural way to drive the green movement without changing courses and strategy very much.
Hmm. What would some examples of green projects be? You mentioned it's not only construction and development, but that's the main thing that we think about most in Malaysia because we're a developing nation. What are some examples of green projects?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because I understand that in Malaysia, the word development and project are synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, any project can be green. It's not so much the outcome. It's how are you managing it and what are the impacts? Because we take a look at projects from a holistic perspective. So whether it is to change the business, you know, maybe implement a new workflow for automation to bring information to executive faster, or is it to actually construct something? A project is a project. It has a start date, a close date, and everything else in the middle is changed. So it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. It's how are you delivering that?
Hmm. And you mentioned that one of the factors that point to potential in Malaysia would be our diverse communities. Why do Malaysia's diverse communities provide green potential, and what's the connection there?
Well, Malaysia is rich in cultural diversity. And, you know, this diversity includes heritage from primarily three distinct cultures. However, socio-environmental degradation and the effects of climate change will, if it hasn't already, endanger the country's cultural riches. There is a great potential to become a high-income, fully developed nation by promoting cultural heritage, embracing diversity, and eradicating corruption in all forms.
Mm.
And it all ties back to principles and values, and it's the corporations, not government, that need to take the lead on this.
Mm. Apart from that, you know, what other areas provide potential?
Well, I believe that the UN Global Compact, they developed the 2015 Business Engagement Architecture, which provides a great high-level roadmap. But really, I mean, for this to be put into practice, organizations must set goals and understand where they truly are. And this requires an integrated approach that takes into account risk, stakeholders, systems, life cycles, and precautions.
Well, I guess, you know, traditionally people would always look at monetary benefits. But then green potential and green projects could also mean using methodology that result in a sort of a return on investment that isn't monetary. What would those be?
There's a concept called SROI, or social return on investment.
Mm.
And organizations are always looking to diversify, to create market differentiation, and to become more valuable. And, you know, every company out there wants to have a stronger bottom line. But there's more to it than that.
Mm.
You have to take a look at, you know, what is the risk to brand if you make a decision and go down the wrong path? I mean, you know, what is the cost of a child in a sweatshop to a CEO?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can completely destroy the organization. And we've seen, you know, in the 90s that happened quite a bit. So we have to take a look at social factors. You know, what is public perception of our organization? Do we attract the best employees? Are we able to hire a skilled labor force? Are we able to offset possible environmental aspects with benefit? You know, what are we doing for society? And those are all, on a global perspective, becoming more critical as organizations sort of cross national borders.
Right. So looking at the potential that we have in Malaysia, you know, what innovations could tap into this potential? What sort of businesses could tap into this potential?
Well, I think that every organization that deals with change, which is every organization, I think that the change initiatives have to have the biggest impact. And by managing change sustainably, they become more efficient and therefore more sustainable as an organization. And the focus is, how can corporations become more self-sustainable as opposed to focusing on, you know, external things like, for example, corporate social responsibility, where they're trying to do something more for society, but how can the corporations themselves become more profitable, you know, become more defensible and become stronger?
Yeah. So what kinds of businesses could be looking at green projects?
I would say any organization that deals with change. So, I mean, anything from your local coffee shop to your mega construction companies. Any organization that has to adapt or to grow, the green projects or green project management can take a good foothold in the organization.
Right. So there's the perception that with a green project, there would be green methods to adopt. What are some examples of green methods?
Well, green methods, I think they need to make sense to the organization. And as opposed to having some sort of off-the-shelf solution, it has to support the strategic objectives. Otherwise, they don't get the prioritization they deserve. So what I recommend, for example, we have what's called the P5 standard. And it is designed to support the Global Reporting Initiative, the Earth Charter, the Global Compact 10 Principles, and also complies with ISO 26000. Mm. Now, this is a free to the public, easy to understand, adaptable framework. And it can be downloaded from our website at greenprojectmanagement.org/P5. What this does is it gives you indicators to look at to say, okay, this is relevant to our business. How can we make this work for us? Or this might not be as critical, but we should keep it on the radar. And it allows you to sort of score change, positive or negative, and then take a look at that and put it into context to make decisions to move forward.
Mm. What are the benefits of green project management, and who benefits most from green projects?
Benefits are a key word. You know, for the organization, putting green project management into practice, due to the total systems lifecycle approach to development, it reduces costs, it increases efficiencies, it reduces risk to the organization, and establishes market differentiation. To external stakeholders like society and the environment, it reduces impacts on resources to ensure that they're able to be there for future generations. And that's really the key.
Hmm. All right. I'm speaking with Joel Carboni, President, Founder, CEO of Green Project Management. And we're talking about Malaysia's green potential. When we come back, what are the barriers to green projects on Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Resource Centre and I'm Maya Tan. I'm speaking with Joel Carboni. He's the President and Founder CEO of Green Project Management. And we're talking about Malaysia's green potential. So we've kind of discussed, you know, how green projects will benefit businesses and industries as well as society. What are some green methodologies? What are the barriers to green projects? I mean, if we think about it, shouldn't all projects be green now? And people should be adopting these green methodologies by now.
You would think so, right?
Yes.
I think the biggest barrier is misconceptions. And it's a misconception that green methodologies create additional work, or that it costs more to implement, or that it's going to somehow open them up to something that they don't want the public to see. But in reality, the organization gains efficiencies. Mm. And those far outweigh any investment for adoption.
You're right. There's the perception that green projects take more time, cost more, or involve more work. Do you have any examples, or can you show us how this may not be true?
Here's a good example. I have an iPhone. I love my iPhone. Let's say that on the next iPhone release, the project manager has been asked to complete it within 8 months, and instead of focusing on benefits, they're focusing on time, cost, and scope, which is the triple constraint to all projects. Mm-hmm. Now, if a project manager is really concerned about the business and the product's outcome, the product's impact on society, their customers, they're going to say, okay, well, we need to get this done on time so we can hit our budget and we're good to go. Mm-hmm. What if, say, one of the developers comes up to their project manager and says, you know what, we can complete this iPhone in 9 months. If you give me $5 million more for R&D, I can give you a battery that lasts 2 weeks. Now, your standard project manager is going to say, nope, sorry, it's out of scope, it's out of our budget, we're done. Mm. Now, a green project manager would say, you know what, I see a benefit here. We're going to be able to use less electricity, we're going to be able to last longer, we're going to provide more benefit to the organization, more benefit to society. Let's spend the extra money, extend the timeline, and get this thing done. Mm. Because in the end, they're going to be able to sell more iPhones, they're going to reduce the draw on the power grid. It just makes more business sense. That's the focus where project management should be going, not being constrained to time, cost, and scope.
Right. The only problem, I think I was talking to some of the people in the construction associations in Malaysia, thanks to Brian, the guy who heads Green Project Management in Malaysia. So what I found out was that in Southeast Asia, at least, there's not a lot of monitoring when it comes to these projects, and there's always the tendency to forgo green methods in order to speed up work, in order to complete projects faster, in order to get payment faster. And it's their competitive edge, you know, being able to complete projects faster. So if no one monitors, then many companies will forgo green for profit. And what can be done about this?
Well, I think quality should be the focus of any project. And if any project manager is worth their own weight, they're going to be focusing on quality and performance. But in regards to regulation, I'm not a big fan of it. I truly believe that consumers, investors, shareholders, and employees are demanding more and more that companies become more transparent in non-financial aspects. And at the end of the day, it's the consumer's dollar that's going to drive companies towards more sustainable models. And I think at the end, only the organizations who are able to adapt and accept this are the ones that are going to thrive in the long run.
Mm. So you don't feel that regulation is going to work in order to keep tabs on developers, because otherwise, you know, the situation will just continue to be unmonitored and the green movement will just take that much longer to develop?
I don't think regulation is the answer in Southeast Asia, because there's always a way around the system.
Mm.
And I think that it's the organizations themselves that have to be, you know, really understanding their own sustainability. And as I mentioned, you know, maybe contributing to UN Global Compact, GRI, to get more investor dollars, to get increased customer base, that's where the focus should be. Not, you know, how can we get around the system, but how can we drive more value? And again, if the goal is to become a high-income, you know, high-value society nation, then that's where the focus should be. It's long-term views, short-term gains.
Hmm. Well, beyond lean and green methods, are renewing resources part of green methodology?
Well, to be truly sustainable, you know, systems, resource must use not significantly. Let me say that again. To be truly sustainable, I think that systems that use resources must not significantly degrade any aspects of the environment, quality, including those not assigned to value in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Biodiversity is one example, a so-called non-valuated resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as are many ecological services such as, you know, the cleansing of air, water, land pollutants by ecosystems, the provision of oxygen by vegetation, and the maintenance of agricultural soil capability.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on how Malaysia will meet the Green Master Plan mandates, for example, reducing carbon emissions by 40%?
This is actually kind of exciting. And I made mention to this in the article I wrote for Green Plus magazine last year, but I think really there's two keys. First, I think Malaysia must transition towards a low-carbon and a resource-efficient economy. It's going to reshape labor market and open up new opportunities for job growth. I think Malaysia's outlook towards 2020 for renewable energy is expected to create something like a RM 70 billion and support in the upwards of 50,000 jobs while reducing carbon emissions by 40%. So I think that's one strong key indicator.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that Malaysian companies must strengthen their commitment to sustainable development. And they need to increase participation in global initiatives such as the UN Global Compact and the GRI. Also, I think that universities and colleges that are shaping millennials for the workforce need to embrace PRIME, or Principles for Responsible Management Education, which is a fantastic initiative. I think that the next generation is absolutely critical, and we must provide them with the tools necessary to succeed on a global scale.
What do you think will convince Malaysian corporations to commit to this?
I think that as Malaysia moves up the value chain and Malaysian companies start stretching across the borders, that it will naturally start to take place. And the adoption, the acceptability will become self-evident because there's value there. And the ability to increase revenues by taking on green projects will start to really drive the market because there's profitability in being sustainable.
Mm. Anything else you'd like to tell us about our potential?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, I only get to spend a little over a week there last December, and I'm planning on coming back in May. But I really saw a fantastic opportunity. I see a lot of interest. I see the wheel starting to turn, and with the ASEAN trade opening up and things changing there in the region, I think Malaysia is poised to really make a strike, and I think it's quite exciting to see.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Dr. Joel Carboni, President and Founder of Green Project Management. This has been Resource Center, and I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.